Morning, everyone. My name's Sam, and the Bible reading is from Mark chapter 4, verses 26 to 29. He also said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come."
Thank you, Sam. Good morning, everyone. My name's Etienne, and I get to finish off today a series that we have called Organic Outreach, based largely on the content of this book for the last 5 or 6 weeks. So today, if you're tuning in, I trust you'll get a gist of what it was about. Today, if you're tuning in and you're not familiar with church, not a Christian. In fact, if you've tuned in the whole time, I trust that today, in a way, I can speak to you as well. And if you have been following along for the whole series, I hope that today as we finish it off, you leave the day and the series encouraged, maybe even a little more empowered to know and to live out the love of God for the sake of others. Let me crack in by simply asking the question, what do you think the kingdom of God is like? And that might be a bunch of confusion in your mind. But let me just put a bit of context to that. The kingdom of God, for today's purposes, what I mean by that is the fact that God is real. God has made you. God loves you. God wants you to know Him. God has done everything from His part so that you can know Him, and that involves the sacrifice of His Son, Jesus Christ, on a cross for paying the due penalty of your sin. Every human being is sinful and a sinner. And if you choose to believe that, God wants to create you anew. He wants to make you an entirely new thing, a new creation. A person who lives in the presence and in the power of God. A life that is being transformed day by day to live out exactly who God is, as intended for you to be. And this doesn't happen just at an individual level. This happens in a group level as well. Through doing this, through knowing people, through bringing people into a new life with Him, God has started a total new humanity that He calls the church. And from that church, over the course of human history, eventually, God is going to create a complete new heavens and a new earth, a new reality. And all of that is called His kingdom, in which He is the King, and in which His will, His ways are the only reality, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. The kingdom of God. This is what God has begun to do, what He is doing, and what He wants to do. And my question for you this morning is this. How do you think that will grow? How do you think that happens? That is, if you believe that it can happen and is happening and has begun to happen. If you don't, you know, you're not a Christian, that's okay. Hang in there. I'll talk to you in a minute. You see, you might expect that the answer to this question is some kind of really complicated answer of that you might find on from some guru on a YouTube channel or some really highly sophisticated philosophy from high-end French philosophers of the Enlightenment or complex world and global dynamics of how it's going to work with the West interacting with China or really heavy theology or religion or doctrine. But the answer to that question, how is that kingdom going to grow? How is God's power at work in this world going to grow? Jesus himself gives us an answer. And it's a stunning answer. He says that kingdom is like this. I don't know if in the back you can even see what this is. Can you see in the back what this is? What am I holding? A seed. This is a seed. Jesus says the kingdom of God is like this. A man scatters a seed on the ground. You remember the passage? Night and day. He sleeps or gets up. The seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how, all by itself. Right? The sword produces the grain, the stalk, the head, the full kernel in the head. And as soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come. This is Jesus' answer. This is how God, his presence, his purposes, his will for your life and for the entire world, this is how it works. This is how it grows. This is the answer. Now, okay, you could say, okay, well, great. But what does that mean? What do we learn from this? If you're a Christian, you know, to whom and with whom we've spoken for the last number of weeks, involved in reaching other people with the life or the message of God, the love of God, what does this mean for you, for organic outreach? What do we learn from this when it comes to the issue of evangelism? And I suggest we learn two things from Jesus' word picture today. And the more I think about it, the more I'm stunned by just how profound this word picture is. Jesus is brilliant. He's brilliant. Inexhaustible. And I want to show you how. Here's the first thing we learn. The first thing we learn from this word picture is that you cannot make seed grow. You cannot make it grow. Right? Now you say, well, hang on a second. You sort of can. Yes, this is a profound word picture because you can't say you have nothing to do with the growing of a seed, but let's start with the first of the two points. The first is the point in which you can do nothing to make a seed grow. I planted a bunch of seeds in the startup of this year's vegetable growing season in Punnett, so I thought I'll do my own seedlings. And in one of my trays of 24 seeds, half of them grew, and the other half did not. Same seed, same soil, same watering pattern, same location. Half of them grew, half of them not. Which reminded me painfully as a gardener that I can't make seeds grow beyond a certain point of having done what my role and my part in this process is. Once they're in the ground and once I'm doing my things, it is up to God, and yes, as modern people, we know the scientific processes that need to take place, But I cannot really control those. In fact, I cannot control those at all. What needs to happen in the ground there is entirely beyond my control. I can do nothing. The seed does not need me. The kingdom of God does not need you. Right? This is an important point. It's an important point that we need to get. I'll tell you why it's important. I particularly speak to Christians now in the room, which would make the majority of us here today. How often do we think along these lines? And I'm going to be a little bit pokey, provocative perhaps here. I don't mean to cause offense, but please stay with me. You'll see why this is important to ask. Pathway people, how often do we fall into the trap of thinking that the people of East Devonport need us? Parents, how often do you fall into the trap of thinking that your children, for the sake of becoming Christians, need you? Christians, when we think of missions and the world and taking the gospel everywhere, the world, the non-Christian part of the globe, need us. They don't. The truth is that the people in East Devonport, together with me, all need God. We all need God. I'll say it again. We all need God. The growth of the kingdom, the breaking through of Christians, non-Christians alike, in terms of having a growing awareness of God's presence, His power, growing near to Him, loving Him, stepping into His ways and His will. In pathway language, any kind of encouragement or empowering or growth in your Christian life is thoroughly 100% and completely and utterly dependent on God. You need Him. The person whose faith is not ignited, never met God, never known His presence or His power, is thoroughly, entirely dependent on Him. Yes, we may need God for different things, but we all need God. God is the one who is in full and sovereign control of the growth of His kingdom. The seed does not need us. Right? Now, if you're not a Christian in this room, can I just speak to you? Because I think this is really important. If you have to do with a Christian and you're always sus of motives, you know, the wonderful truth of this point is that it's not your Christian family or friends who you need to think about. It is God who you need to think about. What is He doing? Is He real? Is He seeking to work in your life? This is not about the church or about the Christians in your life or about their agendas or their motives for you. No, they can do nothing with you, for you, in you, to you. Nothing. Because the kingdom of God is like a seed. It will grow in you if He wants it to grow. And it will not if He does not. Right? He is in control of the growth of His kingdom. Now, Christians, this is extremely important for when it comes to outreach, because two things are avoided if we really truly believe this. Number one, if we forget this, our love and our outreach and sharing our Christianity and our faith with non-Christian people, firstly, can become riddled with the stench of pride, being full of it. Right? How easy for a gardener to look at their garden and think, gee, I'm a good gardener. I know how to grow seeds. No, you don't. You know nothing. Can't grow anything. But how often do we think like that, right? How often do we fall into this trap of thinking that you need me. Therefore, I am the sanctimonious superior thing and you think you're the have-not and I am the have. I, the Christian, am the have and you, the non-Christian, are the have-not. It stinks. 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 And it is just not good evangelism. Nothing good comes from that. No good growth of the kingdom or of Christianity or of the love of God can come from that, right? It's condescending and it stinks. The second problem, if we forget, if Christians forget that this is how the kingdom grows, it's not just pride, but it's also an unnecessary sense of guilt and fear. Let me read you a story from the book of why this is important. You may have heard this as a Christian. It's a bit raw, again, it's a bit real, but stay with me. The author of the book writes this. He says, I was talking with my friend Dan about... this is not true. This is another guy talking. I was talking with my friend Dan about Jesus. I shared about God's grace, the need for all people to receive Jesus as the one who can forgive their sins and be Lord of their lives. I walked Dan through the gospel, but I didn't force the point of decision. Will he choose to be a Christian or not? Will he choose to respond to Jesus by receiving his love for him on the cross or not? I failed to call him to respond right then and there. After our conversation, Dan walked out of the building and into the street and was hit by a truck. He died right there on the spot. Now I have to live for the rest of my life and all eternity knowing that Dan could have been in heaven if I had been bold enough to push the issue and if I had called him to a point of commitment. What rubbish. Like you can grow the kingdom. Like the growth of the kingdom was ever up to you. Jesus is so gracious. God is so loving and so big and so good that he says the way my purposes and my presence and my power will grow in this world will be up to me. I have the power and the control over that. Yes, there's wrestles in that. Yes, there's deep theology at work here in terms of the sovereignty of God and our choice and so on. But for this point, I urge you to hear Jesus' word. This is what the kingdom of God is like. All by itself, it grows. God is the one who works and holds all the keys, all the power, all the grace, all the goodness, and he does it in such a way that it avoids any sense of pride on the part of a Christian and any burden of guilt or fear that somehow it's up to you, right? It's wonderful. That's the first thing we learn about the kingdom of God, about outreach from Jesus' brilliant word picture. But you may ask, and you may say to me, well, okay, that's wonderful. It's not up to us, not up to me. Why did you spend 5 weeks telling us how to reach other people with the love of God so that the kingdom can grow? See the complexity and the tension here, right? The truth is that these seeds that I have, these pea seeds, will not grow for as long as they remain in the packet on the shelf in my shed. The ones in my gutter on the shed, they seem to grow without needing me at all. But not these ones. They do need to be planted. They do need to be watered. They do need to be looked after. Ordinarily, the way seeds grow is that they actually are planted, watered, and tended, and cultivated. And so it is with the kingdom of God. See Jesus' brilliance here in this word picture. No, it is not up to you at all. And yes, you are very much involved. The man in Jesus' word picture is the one who scatters the seed. He plants it. You are involved as a Christian. The growth of the kingdom of God, his presence, his power, his work in the world. Yes, you are involved. No, it does not need you at all. Yes, it does need you. What a wonderful, maybe a frustrating picture, but it's rich, right? It's in depth. And so the question then of why we spent the time on it in the last number of weeks is precisely because we believe that scattering the seed is part of our purpose as a church. Your part. Part of the purpose of your life as a Christian. So we do believe that we need to grow. God needs to grow us in loving those who do not know God, praying for those who do not know Him, ordering our lives so that we spend time with them, knowing them, loving them, learning how to speak the words of testimony to who God is in us and has done for us and with us. Those are all parts of scattering seeds. We are involved. The kingdom does need us, even though it does not at all. I don't need to say much more about that. That's what the rest of the series was about. All I want to do is to wrap this up and conclude it, because I think I do want to land for us, maybe by way of a story, how God is involved in the growth of his kingdom and how we are involved. How the two might come together in Jesus' brilliant word picture. I mean, it already is there, but I'll go for another angle anyway. When I was 18 years old, I was a migrant. I moved to Brisbane City and from South Africa, and I started out in uni, and I really bombed out. It was just not my thing. It turns out business management is not my thing. And so I didn't last very long, and I was pretty hopeless, to be honest. I didn't know what to do with life, all that sort of stuff. I landed a job. Thankfully, with a wonderful man, became a really good friend of mine. He was a carpenter. He took me under his wing, worked with a gang of his, and they sort of worked all over the city, did different kind of projects. We mainly built sort of timber decks and timber roofs and those sorts of things, the odd fence. And for my 18-year-old self, this was just a wonderful experience. Because it meant that I could actually earn some good money, which I've never done. I got that as a real plus. It meant I got to see part of a foreign city that I was really not familiar with. I hardly knew how to drive, all that sort of stuff. I got all the exposure of seeing what it was. I got the joy and the privilege of working with a crowd of people who were really good for me, really impacted me positively. I really got all the goods about being involved in this business. Don't get me wrong, it wasn't all a party. There were hard days. It's a lot of digging, a lot of sweating in the heat, a lot of carrying hard, long 200 mil copper's logs up steep driveways by hand and all that kind of gear. It was hard work. I shared in the hardship. I shared in the joy. But the credit for what we did, it was never mine, it was his. The responsibility for what we did was never mine, it was his. You get the roles we played? This friend, this boss, took all the responsibility, he got all the credit, he shared in the hardship and in the joy. But mine was very simple. I got the joy, the benefits, and I participated in the hardship. Your role as a Christian in the growth and the coming of the kingdom of God is, in a sense, very similar. We share in the joy, and you know the joy, friends. You've been here when we do baptisms. You've been here when you know the joy when a person comes to faith in Christ. There's nothing like it. It exceeds anything in life. And that joy is yours. It's ours. You share the hardships. We know how tough it is, how long the road can be, how disappointing when we worked hard and the seeds don't grow. Yet none of that leads to any responsibility. None of that leads to any credit. The credit is His. The responsibility is His. And that is how the kingdom grows, friends. That is the heart, the motive, the way in which we participate, in which we set out in working with Jesus as He grows His kingdom. May I finish by just reading this for us. Wonderful words from Paul, a guy in the Bible. He speaks these words in Corinthians, which captures this brilliantly. I'm going to read it, and then I'm going to pray, and then we'll sing again. What, after all, is Apollos? Apollos is a Christian, a seed scatterer. Yeah. What is Paul, another Christian, working, seed scattering? What is Apollos? What is Paul? Only servants, through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. Please pray with me. Dear God, we come before you and the sobering reality of our nothingness and how utterly impossible anything truly good, anything truly of God is without you. And so I pray that your kingdom will come. Grow it. Grow it with the immense power that you possess, that you control, that you release, and that you work for your purposes. Lord, we pray that you would do so. We pray that you would heighten our confidence and faith in your wonderful sovereignty and power, the glory of your grace, that you can grow stuff. You can bring people to faith. I pray for the friend here who are here today but does not know you, but maybe feels drawn to you. I pray for a real encounter with the power of the one who can grow. I pray where there's doubt or misgivings over the motives of Christian friends. Pray that all that can be set aside, but that you, Lord Jesus, directly will be encountered, experienced. That your spirit will be at work. The kingdom is not a matter of words, the Bible says, but of power. Your power. That's what we pray for. And I pray, Father, that from that attitude of great humility, this church, or any here who belong to you, will be confident seed scatterers. What a liberty to be sowing seeds, knowing that ours is the joy, none of the responsibility, none of the credit. This is your word. It's your kingdom. It's your seed. May we be devoted to planting, to watering. May we do so with the joy and the confidence that should go with it. May we reach out organically. May we love people. May we pray for them. May we shape our lives to enact that love and grant us the words to testify about you in wonderful ways. We ask, we pray, in the mighty name of Jesus alone. Amen.